numbers told the story they always do.
This is A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
Good Friday morning to you. It is A Numbers Game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM Nevada. It is Gil Alexander, Elliot Bowman, in for Jeffrey Parlay this morning. Today on the show, packed, by the way, we're going to hear from Joe Pita. Joe Pita has another NFL season win total. Gave us an under on the Raiders last week. Gave us the analytic reasons why. He'll talk about the Broncos season win total play that he's making. And he will also discuss a new way, a new and exciting way to bet in the state of New Jersey. It's coming to Ohio and Indiana as well, but that might be for another time. But today it's in New Jersey. Joe will have all the discussion about that. Profit exchange. You love this. Paul Carr with his Premier League picks. Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke in Southern California to talk baseball with us. Pamela Maldonado in studio. How about that? Talk U.S. Open. We did our U.S. Open pod yesterday. I did with Drew Dinsick, so we're all about that. And then my mishpucha, Chrissy Andrews, a little later on the show right here from the South Point studio because of slow jamming with Vinny. No longer. So we're a little upset about that. But I wanted to start the show, ladies and gentlemen, because for the loyal Numbers Game listeners through the years, I had always promised that I would keep you abreast of that old matter from 2.5 years ago, the matter of the 30-to-1 ticket that I had on Iga Swiatek to win the French Open in the year 2020 and the dispute with the Westgate. So yesterday, this show ends at precisely 8:56. 8:55 and 42 seconds, if you really want to know it down to a second. And so at the end of yesterday's show, I immediately sprinted to get into an Uber and jetted across town and arrived at the Nevada Circuit Court of Appeals downtown at 9:26 a.m., 4 minutes before my appellate court hearing. By the way, shocker, they did not rule in my favor. But this was already fait accompli from the Nevada gaming hearing from over a year ago, which... You know, I think I related to a marsupial kind of a thing at some point in the past. But this was one of them. By the way, and then I did four podcasts, one of my own with Drew Dinsick, as I mentioned about the U.S. Open, and the three others. So it was a packed day, but literally wedged in this right after a Numbers Game. And I want to discuss it with you and just give you the update. This is my attorney who represented me the whole way through, except for yesterday. Yesterday, I represented myself by my own choice. And went head-to-head against John Gruden's attorney, who also represents the Westgate, Adam Hosmer-Henner, I believe is his name. But I want to bring in my attorney from earlier in this case, Mac Verstandig, who has just been a joy to work with the entire time. And Mac comes to us today from Bangor, Maine. Mac, how you doing, man?
I'm good, Gil. Thanks for having me on. I'm sorry we're not here with better news. I'm sorry we're not here to talk about how you're going to spend the $30,000 and whether or not you can do it all at once.
Well, we didn't expect, there's no expectation to win this, right? Like, I think people need to know that this was like really settled a while ago. And so if people's response was, well, why, Gil, then did you pursue it if you didn't expect to win that yesterday, and why did it extend? And there's two reasons for that, one of which was a very simple, and I think people listening to the show might appreciate if they ever get into this, what the procedure is. I really didn't get to speak my piece prior to yesterday, and so I didn't feel whole about it. That was the first thing. There's a more you know, serious reason that I'll get to in a minute. But I got to speak, and I got to tell you, Mac, it was a blast. This was one of the, I'm serious. This was so enjoyable to me. This was one of the, and by the way, the simple highlight of it all was when I got Gruden's attorney to stand up and raise an objection. Objection, Your Honor. I was like, this is one of the greatest moments of my life. Did I blow it? Like, how did I do yesterday?
No, you did wonderfully. So to begin with, there is no more surreal out-of-body experience for a lawyer than sitting there watching court not being able to speak. Because it's always, the tables are always turned, right? It's the client who is largely gagged, and I'm the one who gets to yap on and on with this argument and that argument. And having you have the opportunity to make your argument was an absolute joy and completely surreal in every way. But you were wonderful. You were eloquent. You know, you've got a good voice. We know that from the show. And I thought you made a really compelling case. The key, though, is what you said at the top, which is the fix was in from the time the Nevada Gaming Control Board made its ruling. Under Nevada law, The appellate standard is insanely tilted in the Nevada Gaming Control Board's favor. We'd have to show they were arbitrary or capricious or acted contrary to law. And those are burdens that are, you know, worth trying to meet. It's worth pursuing the appeal, but it's a really, really high standard. And I'm glad you got the opportunity to make the argument, though. I thought it was fun.
It was awesome. I feel so whole about it. I know people are like, what a sicko. He's like, I was totally into it. My dad would have been proud. There was a whole bunch of things going on. Let me just ask you this. If this exact case, exact wording, and we'll get to what the argument was in a second. But if this exact, it was a, by the way, it was $1,000 ticket, 30-1 on Iga Swiatek to win the 2020 French Open. For those who missed it, that tournament was moved to later in the year, and that's where, while I got paid by everybody else, William Hill, Far Away Places, the Westgate issued a refund, and that's where the dispute stemmed from. We'll get to details in a second. Were this in another state, any other state, do you think it would have gone another way? Like, is Nevada its own specific thing?
Yeah, so Nevada and New Jersey are unique in that they make you go in front of an administrative body. In any other state with legalized sports betting, we would have been able to go to court instead of going in front of an administrative body. And that has a profound difference for two reasons. One, your average judge in any other state isn't dealing with gaming issues day in and day out. So they're perhaps more open to hearing everything. I know I said earlier, it fixes it. Nothing was rigged. I don't mean it's just any corruption. But the Nevada Gaming Control Board knows its casinos inside out and backwards. It trusts its casinos, and there's a propensity to rule in favor of its casinos. In any other state except for New Jersey, you would have had a judge who's not used to handling gaming cases, and you possibly would have had a jury, depending on the breakdown of the state. And I think that may well have ended up going a different way because you have a different fact finder in the beginning. And then, you know, like we talked about, once you have that initial, we call it an evidentiary hearing. After that, you're stuck with the record. You're stuck with deference to the court or the body that heard it. And that's what we saw yesterday was a judge who, by law, and she was doing her job, had to give deference to the Nevada Gaming Control Board.
Yeah, where it gets screwy is at the control board level, for sure. So again, just the details for those who are new to this. So I had that ticket. It was the year of the pandemic. The French Open gets moved, if people recall, from, I want to say, May to October, if I'm being specific. Anyway, my argument was, their argument was that the reason it was a refund and not pay my winnings is because they cited one of their house rules that had to do with football and other events and games moving more than 8 days. But it was specifically about games. And so my argument was that at worst it was disingenuous. At best it was vague. At best, it was vague, and there is precedent in the state of Nevada that if your rules are vague, it should go to the sports bettor. And what I mean by vague is that they treated futures, by the way, on my IGA ticket, it says outright. Outright is a synonym for futures in sports betting. They treated basketball, if you recall, started, stopped, then played into the Orlando bubble, different playoff format rules. They crowned a champion, and the Westgate went out of their way to say, oh, we'll pay out all winners. Doesn't matter that there's all these trades and that it's different. We'll pay out all winners. Baseball didn't even start on time. Went from a 162-game schedule to a 60-game schedule. They went out of their way, quoting, right, John Murray, who, by the way, I love John Murray. John Murray texted me after my father passed away. Love John Murray. This is not a personal thing. Until we get to the personal part, which is just in a second. But they, you know, they paid out all baseball winners. They went out of their way to talk about that. And so they treated the outright of a tennis tournament differently than they did those. And they cited this rule, which is really about games. By the way, I think history will prove me right. They will change that rule, right? And they will make a tacit admission that it was vague. But we'll see about that. But that's my hunch. Where it got, and the other reason I mentioned, because I wanted to speak my piece as one of the reasons why I pursued this. The other reason was that they made claims that were just complete fabrications, right? So they said, and this came up in the gaming, like they did things that made me say, oh, you want to go low? Watch this. And so what they did is they said that I didn't make my own bet. They brought up Alan Boston right in the hearing. They insinuated that I had somehow made a bet for Alan Boston and that I wasn't using my own money. Ladies and gentlemen, Alan Boston doesn't even bet ladies tennis, let alone he'd like to have my bets on those. Two, they said that I was free-rolling them as if I was waiting to see the outcome of the French Open and then was free-rolling them, when in fact it was them that was free-rolling everybody, because there's people who didn't have the winning tickets. They had no idea that they were getting refunds. And then the third one, and the most insidious one of the bunches, and they told this to each other, to themselves, so often that they started to believe it. They were like, oh, you tried to extort us. No, I said, hey, guys, just to let you know, I'm going to talk about this on my show. And they twisted that into this, oh, if you don't give me my money, I'm going to do a show. And that is like complete fabrication, right? So that is why they got what they got here. And though they went in court, by the way, they needed this way more than I did, let's be honest. In the end, I think they probably ended up spending more in attorney's fees than they would have paid me. That I think is the end of that. But the arc of the experience was fascinating. I relished the experience, and I relished that moment yesterday.
Look, you were superb yesterday. I think it's a good summary of everything went down. And at the end of the day, I'd be shocked if they don't change their rules. And you're right, Nevada has a doctrine. It actually goes back to like old British common law that says if there's an ambiguity, you construe it in favor of the party that didn't draft. And that's what the NGCB did not do in this case. And I think that's the core problem. And the rules are ambiguous. The difference between an event and a game and a future is in no way clearly delineated in there. And you're as intelligent a sports bettor as there is out there. If it didn't make sense to you, how is it going to make sense to a tourist showing up and dropping $500 on their favorite athlete?
Yeah, the judge even said to them at one point, what is this football and events and why is it separated? And then he hemmed and hawed about it. It was fascinating. Mac, what I really want to say to you personally, what I said to you privately, I'll say to you here. You were a delight to work with. It was such a wonderful experience, and I am so glad to have gone through it with you specifically.
Thank you, Gil. It's been an absolute delight and an honor. I hope you don't need counsel in the future, but it's been a joy representing.
Thank you. Mac, for standing, everybody, on a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Joe Pita with an NFL season win total next.
The Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open an account. Start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. It's Gil Alexander. Speaking of tennis, I do have a tennis play today going for our sixth in a row. Very quiet sixth in a row going for here right before the U.S. Open. And taking Ludmila Samsonova. Put a pin in that name. That might come up later on the show. Played Ludmila Samsonova at minus 135 versus Bernarda Pera. Two of the hottest, if not the hottest, streaking players on the ladies' tour right now. They have been phenomenal, the both of them. But I'm taking Samsonova today at minus 135. Again, all these based on the data. I would sing LeVert's Casanova for you to remember Samsonova, but I'll save that for the podcast side. Ladies and gentlemen, he was on Wall Street for many, many, many years, then wrote a book while convalescing from an accident where an ambulance ran him over. And it was called Trading Bases, where he melded his Wall Street education, if you will, all those years into betting the sport of baseball. Then he transitioned to golf, wrote the 2019 tour guide about the Masters using proprietary data that he unearthed for the Masters. And now he is taking his genius to the sport of football. My word, genius, not his. It's Joe Pita, everybody. How you doing, Joe?
Good morning, Gil. And we've come from a lot of locations, but today coming to you from Profit Exchange World Headquarters, or as the inspiration for my Twitter handle might say, somewhere in the swamps of Jersey.
Somewhere in the swamps of Jersey. Do you want to talk about your NFL season win total first, and we'll get back to Profit? Let's do that.
Oh, of course.
Let's do that.
Let's talk football.
Because Profit is very exciting. A new way to bet in the state of New Jersey. We're talking now, the first exchange in this nation, and we'll get into that. But last week you came on, you talked about the Las Vegas Raiders. You explained the reasons why you were going under on the Raiders, using the same kind of analytics principles that you used both in baseball and in golf, specifically in baseball, those most appropriately. Now you have an opinion on the Denver Broncos. What is that?
Yeah, Gil, and it's a nice bookend with the Raiders discussion we had, because the Raiders discussion really centered on a shiny, new, exciting offensive piece they were bringing to the team. And while it was unquestionable that Davante Adams was a improvement over any option they had at wide receiver one to start the year, when you looked at the numbers, he had a surprising amount of production to exceed by their wide receiver one by committee last year. And so that while, yes, it's a great pickup, no question, you'd be to actually improve, and remember they were outscored last year all year, is a difficult task, and therefore it led to an under. The Broncos, very similarly, have a exciting new piece. But the assumption ends there, because as I dug into the numbers, I'm not so sure that this was a better option than they had at QB1 to end the season last year.
Okay, so that's the crux of this. You're not sure
that
Russell Wilson replacing Teddy Bridgewater primarily's production is an upgrade. Explain, sir. That will come as a surprise
to
most.
It does come as a surprise. Now, and what's really interesting is this really isn't a one-year aberration for Wilson either. If you really look at his, his granular play-by-play work last year, it's quite surprising. I convert it into WAR, wins above replacement. I essentially had Russell Wilson as a one-WAR quarterback last year, whereas Teddy Bridgewater was a two-WAR quarterback. And if you look at the components of things, you really see a big decline in Russell Wilson's work and consistency that is overcome by some big plays that he's still able to pull off. But if there's one thing that football analytics has taught us, boom and bust guys are not really what you want on your team. You don't want him at running back. You don't really want him at quarterback either. And when you really compare stuff, it's really shocking. And my favorite one is, it's something that Drew Dinsick talks about when he talks about props same with Rufus Peabody, which is mean versus median, right? And when you look at Russell Wilson's mean expected points per play, it's league average. It's at 0.04 per play. Now, Teddy Bridgewater was up at 0.01 or 0.11 per play, and that puts Teddy Bridgewater at about a top 10 quarterback, whereas Russell Wilson was even. But when you look at the median, Gil, it is stunning. Russell Wilson's median EPA per play was negative 0.22, and that is keeping company with the worst of the starting quarterbacks in the league. People like Davis Mills and Sam Darnold, and the retired Ben Roethlisberger last year. You can also see it then in the success rate too, and those are the percent of plays that are actually positive EPA. Russell Wilson is again down with Daniel Jones. And that is that to me is a problem, especially because it really wasn't a one-year issue. So I'm not so sure they would have been better off with Teddy Bridgewater. You've gotten over under wins of 10 to lose that. Denver has to win 11. Most people look at that defense as being average. For an average defense to win 11 games, you need a quarterback that is putting up a Brady, Rodgers, Mahomes type year. And that might be the way it goes, but I don't think that's the way you bet it based on Russell Wilson's work last year and then even into the last 2 years.
Well, I'm glad you said, because the obvious sort of response to what you were saying was, hey, Russell Wilson had that hammer finger. Remember that weird injury he had last year? So he missed a month of the season. When he came back, he didn't appear to be right. But what you're saying is this is not a one-year issue. It goes beyond that with him.
That's right. And it's not a last 6 weeks of the season post-injury issue with him either last year.
Okay. What else lends to your conviction on the under with the Broncos?
Well, it's really at the price. Just kind of talking about, and I see you have 9.5, or I've seen 9.5, but there's still some tens on the board, even if you're under, might be -130 there. But it's just, obviously they're in that division. It's a tougher schedule. They would really need to outscore their opponents by more than 100 points to get over 10 wins. And like I say, with an average defense, that's a tough row to hoe unless you've got you know, a top three quarterback. And I just, you know, at age 34, I think you know, they gave up a lot. And look, his, you know, we know what he's done. So maybe his ceiling is still higher than a Bridgewater type. But at 4 years younger, I'm not so sure I would have made that move if I were Denver. And I like the under.
What was your take on the Denver defense through all this when you were analyzing it?
Yeah, well, obviously, they were essentially league average last year, but there was a drop off of, not surprisingly, after Von Miller left. So, and most of their assets that they, you know, both dealt this year and utilized are on the offensive side of the ball. So, you know, the projection is for them to basically be an average defense.
How much have you enjoyed doing these for football, and do you expect to do a full 32 of these based on the same principles used in baseball? What is sustainable? What is the replacement of production from a previous year? All of the principles that you use. Do you expect to do 32 of these next year? Are you committing to that at this point?
Next year. Yeah, I think so, Gil. I've got the framework down. That took a long time to, you know, really get it down. I've tried for years, actually, and I finally, you know, came up with something I think satisfactory.
Something satisfactory. And do you feel, because you used, for those who don't know, I glossed over, you know, Joe has this great resume, but I glossed over the fact that you worked at ESPN Chalk for a couple seasons as well. Do we feel as though, I'll word this, you know, as clearly as I can, do we feel as though the reception for what you did then, like you used to do 30 baseball teams, and they were awesome, your team previews. Do you feel like, and I don't want to cast aspersions on ESPN, but you just feel like because it was pre-passed but being ruled unconstitutional, that the appreciation of this kind of thing wasn't really there at the time? Was there a little of that?
I think the audience is bigger maybe now than it was then. So, yeah, that's kind of what I'd aim for. I'd aim for the same type, logic-based, slightly different angle of covering these things. I love doing baseball, and yeah, I'd like to put out 32 next year.
And no more baseball for you. You're done with that.
Yeah, done with baseball.
done with baseball. Listen, Joe, as long as you agree that the 91 Washington football team was better than your 91 Eagles defense, then I have no problem with you pursuing this.
Gil, I'll take the fifth, just like, you know, to cite your court stories, I'll take the you're out of order.
Joe, it was the greatest experience of my life. I cannot even tell you. It was such a blast. He stands, objection, Your Honor. It's phenomenal. It's the greatest thing ever. By the way, outside of the courtroom afterwards, Gruden's attorney, by the way, I should name him, Adam Hosmer-Henner, he says to me, he goes, I think you might have a second career here. I go, yeah, I'm good. Thanks, man. And then we chatted about the Gruden case. He's very confident in it. People should know. Joe Pita on the big development in sports betting in the state of New Jersey, and it's happening now. We'll talk about that on the other side. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
The Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The VSiN Pro Football Guide is out now. This year's guide is packed with Super Bowl and playoff predictions, season win total, best bets for every team, best ways to bet rookie quarterbacks, plus a bookmaker breakdown on what futures the public and respected bettors are making. Remember, the only way to get access to this year's football betting guide, though, is to become a VSiN all-access subscriber. Sign up on our discounted football special and get all access to everything we do from now through the Super Bowl for only $175, or save 50% off the monthly price with an annual subscription at Bet Smarter all year long. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe for all your options and become part of the Sports Betting Network. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. A lot of response to first segment of the show today. Cricket Man, that was ballsy. He said, I testified for 20 years and I never found a client we trusted to speak. Nicely done. A bet is a bet, period, as the kids say. I think they put a T on the end of period. Scott C. Gil stands up for integrity in the betting world. Much respect. Thank you. It's very kind of you. This is from New York Mess 16. Although you didn't win at 30-1, you did win in the book paying more in attorney fees. In the book paying more in attorney fees, but more importantly, possibly getting a rule change. Will it be called the Gilly Rule, as Todd Wishnev would call it, or will it be the Beating the Book Rule? Either way, thank you on that. And Asian Lebowski, wondering how many people will tune into tonight's women's tennis match after Gil described the match as two of the hottest streaking players in the game. As I was saying that, I was like, that didn't sound right. That didn't sound right. A massive buildup for disappointment, unless, of course, the match is a winner. I meant they are two of the game's most successful players of late. How's that, Elliot? Did I do well? Daytime degenerate, listening to Gil basking in the glow of taking the books down brings me great joy. Well, I didn't take them down, but I made my point. Joe Pita is with us once again, ladies and gentlemen, at Magic Rat SF. Tribute to Springsteen. Is that what that is, Joe?
Yes, it is, Gil. That's right. It was a character in his song, Jungle Land.
And apropos, because he is associated with the state of New Jersey, which has a very exciting thing happening right now. Can you explain, sir?
Yes, Gil. As of this morning, the Prophet Betting Exchange is open in New Jersey. You still might describe it as Pete Futek did about week one in college, as a soft opening. So you get a nice tapas menu with the menu to expand as the weeks go on. But what's important is the app is, as of this morning, you can download the app on the Apple Store, which I actually did this morning. It went up yesterday in the Android Store, and it can also be accessed on a desktop if you are it can be accessed anywhere, but of course you have to be in New Jersey to actually place wagers. And that is at nj.profitbettingexchange.com. And so those are the three ways to access and to fund your account. So you can set up an account there. You can fund it. As of this morning, they have a $200 match going on, a promotion. And of course, there's not many promotions left in New Jersey since that was from prior years. But it's really exciting, Gil, because, you know, promotions aside, and look, you know, there's not going to be a marketing budget that's going to rival FanDuel's. But you do have this is a great option for bettors in New Jersey. And I know you and I are excited about that. And even people back to, you know, Roxy Roxborough, if you're over 40 years old, you may have been doing, you know, you may have bet on the World Sports Exchange late 90s.
Yeah.
You may remember Trade Sports, which actually was a sort of a branch of InTrade, or InTrade came out of Trade Sports. And those were available to American bettors, although they were not American companies until, about 2007. And we've been hungering for an exchange since. And Prophet is, you know, this is going to be great. I was thinking about when Dr. Bob, you know, put out the college win totals earlier this week on your show, or Adam Chernoff is releasing stuff from Right Angle Sports over the preseason. And the lines instantly move, and, you know, some of the books just pull down their markets, et cetera. That doesn't happen on an exchange, and this is good. This is really good news for bettors. I know you and I have talked about it a little before, but it's every single bet you're going to win more or lose less than you would if you had placed it at a traditional bookmaker.
Win more and lose less, and Prophet is the first.
Or lose less. Or lose less.
Win more or lose less. What did I say? Did I say it incorrectly?
Oh, and lose less.
Oh, win more. Win more. Right. Well, those are the two things that are. That's are right. Part and parcel with this. So the easiest way is the app, Prophet Exchange. It's within the confines of the state of New Jersey. It will be one day in the future in Indiana and Ohio, perhaps as well. Let me just ask.
Yeah, that should be.
Yeah, go ahead.
Early 2023 for those states.
Okay, so it occurs to me that there's a big percentage of people listening to this show right now and to this network who are like, okay, I've heard about exchanges, I know about Betfair, I know about it, you know, sort of anecdotally. But the average American bettor doesn't really know about this. And so can you explain as simply as you can, it's like Denzel in Philadelphia, he's like, explain this like I'm a two-year-old. What exactly is the experience for a bettor? Okay, we get it. Conceptually, win more, lose less. But what do I do? What is the experience like from first moment to the conclusion of a bet?
Yeah, the important thing to think about an exchange is it's a peer-to-peer network. So your bet is actually matched against somebody else who is making the same bet, not a house who is offering a two-sided market against which you pay a VIG for their service of providing a two-sided market. So what happens is take Northwestern and Notre Dame, or not Northwestern and Nebraska tomorrow. So your experience on Prophet will be, I think the national line right now is minus 12. Your experience on Prophet will be to put a bet in at either plus 12 if you want to bet on Northwestern, or minus 12 in Nebraska. And if it matches, the winner will end up paying a 2% commission. which essentially means you are betting that game on the spread at minus 102 instead of minus 110, right? You're taking, and that's an 80% reduction in the house edge. And so that's the experience. And then on the money line, Gil, so I see, you know, I think on the screen, you guys are going to have the money line up, which I think is like minus 450 plus 350. Hey, if you want to bet Nebraska, say a plus 400, see what happens on the exchange is you put that in. You might say, hey, I'll put down $50 and you'll name your price. You know, I'm not sure if the term name your price tool is trademarked. I think it probably is. So let's call it, you get to cite, you know, cite where you'll pay. For Nebraska or Northwestern, if you put that in at plus 400, that will then be displayed. And anybody that wants to take the other side with Nebraska, instead of having to lay 450, they can max you and lay 400. So it's, you know, any bet that matches is going to be, you know, good or profitable for both sides of the transaction. And, you know, like I say, this is a soft weekend. There's not many marquee games. But I think that, you know, getting registered and then funding the account, we're going to see, you know, an exchange, Gil, you know, MBAs or, you know, the MBA students would say that an exchange has network effects, right? And the more people that use it benefits the people who are already using it. And that's what we're going to see, hopefully, by, you know, week one of the NFL season as we get to the opening next week, that, you know, people are going to place bets. They're going to have their apps open in New Jersey. They're going to see better prices on the exchange than they do in all their apps. And if they don't, they go back to traditional betting. But if they see better prices, it's going to attract liquidity, and that's going to beget more liquidity. And hopefully it's going to be a meaningful market for New Jersey bettors to access. And right now it's going to be just your major sports. There aren't going to be props and there's no season win totals. But, you know, like a restaurant opening, the menu will expand over the year.
What do you think, like, and we only have like 60 seconds or 90 seconds left here, but what do you anticipate in its perfect form? Are there market makers, or do some people become market makers within profit as well, I would imagine?
Well, sure. This is one of the things that a profit, just like Airbnb allows you to, you know, be a hotel host without, you know, the traditional red tape that you have to go through, or Uber lets you be a taxi driver. Yes, Gil, if somebody actually wants to make a market, they can do that. Like if they, you know, and that is, take the Northwestern Nebraska money line. If they want to, you know, put a market at Nebraska at minus 425 and Northwestern plus 375, and they're happy to take either side, yes, you can actually be an amateur market maker on an exchange too. And again, that provides liquidity. You know, on some of, you know, like Dr. Bob's picks, perhaps somebody would have liked to have, you know, when he said play it up to, you know, minus 120 or minus 130. If somebody takes the other side of that on an exchange, they get plus 120 or plus 130. So, yeah, it can be attractive from the market making aspect as well.
This is so great, just, you know, for the experience of the American sports bettor to have this now as an option is just a super exciting thing. And I would encourage everybody to give it a try if it's something that piques their curiosity. Profit Exchange. You can download the app now. Joe Pita, everybody, who's in New Jersey and is going to watch this from, I guess, the boiler room, if you will, on this Nebraska-Northwestern game, too, back there at Profit.
That's right.
Thank you, Joe. Appreciate it as always, man.
Thanks, Gil. Always, it's great speaking with you.
Joe Pita at Magic Rat SF. Paul Carr's Premier League picks of the weekend. Next, Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
The Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The first inning is unpredictable, but you can place a no-run first inning wager with confidence at BetMGM. Make a no-run first inning prop bet on any Friday MLB game. And if only one run is scored in the first, you'll get your stake back and free bets up to $20. That's right. Simply place a single or parlay no-run first inning bet. No runs in the first, no problem. You win. If only one run is scored, get your wager back and free bets up to $20. Take big swings all season long with BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. Opt-in required. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi, Nevada, or New York. It's Gil Alexander. Elliot Bowman in for Jeff Parlay this morning. And ladies and gentlemen, from the heartland of the country, dead smack in the middle, Topeka, Kansas, works for True Media Networks. He's the host of the Expected Value podcast, used to work at ESPN so many years ago, and always graces us with his presence on Fridays during the Premier League season to give us a three-pack of picks. It's Paul Carr. How you doing, Paulie?
I'm good, Gil. We are 6 days away from betting going live in Kansas, assuming everything goes well. So I've got spreadsheets. I've got, you know, I'm doing the math on all this. Is it deposit bonus, free bets, sign up, all this stuff, trying to figure out what's the best place.
The promotions abound in Kansas.
That's right. Yeah, it's going to simplify. Once I get past this, it's going to simplify my life a lot.
Yeah. And as we said when Missouri got their sports betting, we said, eat it, Kansas. Now we say, eat it, Mizzou. Yeah.
Right. Missouri doesn't have it yet.
That's they don't. That's right.
Yeah,
that's true.
Their legislature was just a disaster trying to get it. You know, everyone's trying to get their piece of everything. And so they messed it up so badly, it didn't even get through this time. So, yeah, eat it even more, Missouri.
Eat it even more. We say that in jest. Jeff Parles having his wedding in the state, in the great state of Missouri next year as well. So, okay, before we get to your Premier League picks, there is the matter of the Champions League, correct?
Yeah, Champions League draw was yesterday, yeah.
Okay, so we always have things to say about that because, you know, a little buzz of things perhaps not being kosher.
Have been some orchestration, yeah. So
you mean like
Bayern Munich.
Yeah,
go ahead.
No, I was going to say, you mean like the U.S. Open draw yesterday, which had Rafa and Serena in the easiest quarters whatsoever?
It's funny how that works, yeah.
It's funny
how that works. On Champions League draw, we got Bayern Munich was drawn against Barcelona. Notable because Robert Lewandowski left Bayern for Barcelona this offseason. We also got Man City drawn in the same group as Borussia Dortmund. Erling Haaland left Dortmund for Man City this offseason. So we've got some nice, juicy storylines there in the group stage that were orchestrated nicely.
Okay. And the odds moved on some of those, correct?
A little bit, yeah. Barcelona was probably the biggest loser because they got drawn, like mentioned, with Bayern. Also with Inter Milan, who was runner-up in Serie A last season, won the year before. So their title odds went from plus 1,400 to plus 2,000. Tottenham was probably the big winner. They got drawn with Eintracht Frankfurt. That was the top seed from in Tottenham's group, which is what everybody wanted. And then Sporting from Portugal and Marseille. You know, not a cakewalk group, but about as good a group as you're going to get. So they dropped from plus 2,000 to plus 1,600. Yeah, I don't have a real play on a future here. Those top 5-6 teams, your big favorites, are all going to be about the same because they're all projected to get through the group stage. If you want to take a shot on anybody at like plus 2,000 or better, I mean, I can't argue with you too much if you think one of those teams is going to round into form, but there's really no future play for me here.
Okay. I know people are waiting for your picks, but just something else occurred to me because we haven't talked about this in a while. The World Cup in Qatar in November. Yeah. Catch the fever, everybody.
Let's go.
None of us are going to care. It's going to be the middle of our football season.
It's so weird.
So weird. Okay. Did you make any bets in that at all? Either groups or full to win
I
it all?
I did. I had a Germany future, as usual. I think it was 10-1.
It's not Paul Carr unless we have a Germany future.
That's right. Yeah. Let me see. I know I have Canada to get out of the group. Senegal, something on Senegal to either win the group or get out of the group. They're in Group A with Netherlands and Qatar. I feel like there's one or two other get out of the group type of plays. France, I think, to win the group, maybe like minus 220, something like that. So a few little plays early on. I'm sure I'll dive in deeper as we get closer.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll have a conversation or two about it at some point. All right, three pack of picks. Where do you? By the way, they're all Saturday, all of them Saturday, and all at the same time.
Yeah, all Saturday. It's the 9 a.m. Central Time kickoff. So I did not realize that when I make the bets. It doesn't really influence, but yeah. So
by the way, just get the
screens going.
A macro betting question: whether it's soccer, whether it's any sport that you're betting on, do you prefer the betting experience? Like, if you have three games you've bet on, three matches, whatever, do you prefer them to be spread out all day? Or do you prefer them all to be at the same time?
Totally depends on my schedule. You know, if I have a busy Saturday where I'm, whatever, doing stuff with my daughter, we're going this, doing that, I'd rather get them all done at once. Like, give me that 2-hour window and I can crank all the games out. If it's a leisurely day where I'm just kind of bumming around, I'd rather have it stretched out and extend the joy or extend the agony a little bit more.
I'm a spread them out kind of guy, man. Spread them out during the day. I don't need them all at once. It's too much. Too many TVs. All right. Yeah. What's number one on Saturday?
Number one, going back to the well on this, Chelsea-Leicester, both teams to score, -110 is the price. The simple note, I've said this time and again, 24 of Leicester's last 27 away games have had both teams score. Their defense isn't great. Their attack's good enough. Now, their attack has not been good this year. I will grant you that. I think they have the second fewest expected goals in the league. But this is a little bit more about Chelsea. They got smoked by Leeds 3-0 last week. And the Chelsea midfield is a mess. N'Golo Kante is kind of their anchor of midfield. He's out. He's hurt. Kalidou Koulibaly is Chelsea's number one center back. He's suspended for a red card last week. So they're going to have a makeshift back line of sorts. So I think all that's going to get Leicester a goal. Chelsea's at home. They have scored in 25 of 30 home games under Tuchel. So they'll get a goal. But their defense hasn't been great anyway. And now you take two of their best players away. I think Leicester finds a way. Chelsea gets a goal. -110 is a pretty good price. About as good as you're going to get for a both teams to score that involves Leicester. So I like that. -110, both teams to score.
Chelsea, Leicester, BTTS, both teams to score. Let me just ask you this, because I feel like I'm compelled to do this. You said, 24 of the last 27 away games for Leicester?
For Leicester,
yeah. Away games. Both teams scored. Is there anything to that away detail? Like, I mean, is that relevant in any way? Do you think?
A little bit, just in, you'll see teams, their style will vary home or away, you know, especially with that mid-level underdog teams. Some will tend to go for it more on the road and play more conservatively at home. Some of it's vice versa. So there's a little bit of something to it. You know, that stat specifically is usually more of an indicator of a playing style sort of thing where a team is or isn't afraid to open up or play defensively on the road.
Okay. Pick number two, concurrent, simultaneous. Yeah. What do you got?
I am holding my nose and betting against Manchester City in a way. I'm taking Crystal Palace +2.5 goals at City. -140 is my price. Palace has looked pretty good. You know, I thought they would be good coming into the season. I have a top half bet on them. They were tested by Liverpool, but hung on for a draw. And City is not like, you know, you watch Bayern and Bayern will just roll up goals on anybody. It's just, they never let their foot off the gas. City is more in the, we're going to strangle the life out of this game once we get a lead, a goal or two. And, you know, they haven't topped 2.1 expected goals in a game this season, but they've had 70% possessions. They just kind of, you know, get a goal, maybe two, and make you do something to try and stop them from just kicking the ball around the back the rest of the game of sorts. Palace has shown that they don't mind playing without the ball. They did against Liverpool. They can do things on the ball like they showed against Villa and Arsenal. So I like the chances that Palace, you know, gets a goal and then City's got to get four, or they just kind of keep it close and it's a 2-0 type of game. So Palace +2.5, -140. I'd play it up to about -160, which is probably more like the price you're going to see right now.
Okay. What could possibly go wrong there?
City's going to come out and be 4-0 up at half, and I'm going to hate everything.
Man City, by the way, 2 points behind Arsenal, among a gaggle of sides that are 2 points behind Arsenal, just 3 games into the Premier League season. And then finally, number three, sir.
Yeah, so Brentford. I'm taking Brentford to win against Everton. Even money is my price. This is... almost don't need numbers for this. Like if you've watched either team play this season, like Brentford looks like they know what they're doing. They're, you know, kind of a mid-table type of team who are maximizing their talent. They just seem to have a plan. And Everton looks like kind of a mess. They haven't shown me anything to make me think they'll climb above that relegation scrap that they were in last season. They've conceded the third most expected goals so far. They're 14th on the attacking side in expected goals and shot quality. Dominic Calvert-Lewin is their best attacker. He's not back from injury yet. And Brentford's looked decent. You know, they smoked Manchester United. They were unlucky not to get a point against Fulham last week. And the real thing to watch here is set pieces, corner kicks, free kicks. Brentford, fourth in the league with 18 goals from set pieces over the last couple seasons. Everton's allowed the most set piece goals in the league. Brentford, this is kind of my old mantra. Brentford's better. They're at home. I'll play them to win on even money. You can probably find a little better. I saw a lot of +105s out there this morning, so I like Brentford to win this one.
Nice. So here are the three picks once again from Paul Carr. Paul Carr, who went 1-2 last week, 6-3 on the year. Is that correct?
That's correct, yep.
6-3 on the year. Chelsea, Leicester, both teams to score, -110. Good price right there. Crystal Palace, +2.5 goals at Man City. Ooh, boy. Let's swing our way through that one. Brentford. Straight up win versus Everton. That at even money. Always shop around for the prices. I'd be remiss. We only have 30 seconds. We got to go here, Paul. But how'd your meeting with the Jacksonville Jaguars go last week? Good?
It's good. Yeah, it's good. We got a lot of, you know, there's always interest in the preseason. It's always, you never know what happens when the season happens and time crunch and all that stuff. But yeah, Doug Peterson's kind of analytically minded, so that's trickling down through the organization. So we'll see what happens.
I'd like to hear that. All right. Doug Peterson, former Super Bowl champion. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it very much, man.
You bet. Have a good weekend.
You too. At Paul Carr, C-A-R-R, on the Twitter machine. Jason Weingart from Under a Cloud of Smoke. On the other side, Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
The first inning is unpredictable, but you can place a no-run first inning wager with confidence at BetMGM. Make a no-run first inning prop bet on any Friday MLB game. If only one run is scored in the first, you'll get your stake back and free bets up to